Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Good morning. My name is Lexi Simmons. I'm a youth deacon and also a part of the youth advisory team. Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that the words we are about to hear will become the word of God for us this day. Help us to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Listen to God's word. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in this earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Today's second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I can remember a time when I promised myself that I wouldn't be one of those preachers who makes football references every Sunday of the season. So I'm hoping that former me will forgive current me today. It's not even really a football reference directly. It's just about football players, or even more directly, football players who have a podcast. I am a regular listener of the podcast hosted by the Kelsey brothers called New Heights. For those who are not consumers of football or pop culture media, Travis Kelsey is to some famous for being the tight end with the Kansas City Chiefs, and to others for being engaged to Taylor Swift. And Jason Kelsey is, of course, a retired center who played for the Eagles. Like some of my media references and sermons, this podcast gets a listen with caution rating, especially if coarse language is something that upsets you. But all that said, on the show, in addition to analyzing the weekly football games and talking about their charities and at least one time breaking world entertainment news with an album drop announcement, the Kelseys use their podcast to interview other players. I'll admit I don't always understand all of the deep details they get into when they dissect specific plays or schemes. So sometimes I just nod along until they get to the human interest part of the interview. One question they always ask a new guest is, what was your welcome to the NFL moment? What was that moment when the player knew they had made it, whatever that might mean for them? It isn't necessarily the first day in the locker room or the first time they played a game with the pros. For some, it was even a year or two or more after that when they first stepped out on the field and before a packed stadium and could hear somebody calling their name specifically. I remember one guest remembering lining up across the ball from their childhood hero. And another who talked about taking his first big hit in a play. He said he came up smiling from that hit, even if he was aching, because he knew he was living his dream. And it was a moment of change, a moment when their identity shifted. Because whatever experience a guest describes, their welcome to the NFL moment was a moment of radical new understanding of who they are and what they are a part of, a profound shift in self-identity. The first part of the third chapter of Matthew's gospel gives us an introduction to John the Baptist. We read there that his ministry in the wilderness of Judea consists of him proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," and baptizing those who came to him, confessing their sins. He ministers in the wilderness, away from the centers of power, but people come to him from all those places, and others listen to him, presumably learning from him, and of course, receiving his offering of baptism, a sign of repentance, turning away from sins and toward God. He's not nobody, but at the same time, he seems more than a little skeptical when Jesus comes from Galilee to be baptized by him. They know each other, although Matthew doesn't dwell on their familial relationship like Luke does in the infancy narratives. But clearly, John knows who Jesus is, having told some who came to be baptized by him that there is one coming after him who is more powerful than him. And when Jesus presents himself for baptism, John initially resists, recognizing that this feels like a role reversal, that he shouldn't be baptizing Jesus, but Jesus should be baptizing him. Jesus has something more, John recognizes. Jesus is someone more. This request didn't line up with his understanding of their hierarchy or John's own relationship to Jesus. "Do you come to me?" he asks, in a moment that might be described as an identity crisis. I imagine him sort of looking around as if he might find the real person Jesus is looking for, like that moment when a new parent is first home from the hospital with their newborn child. Please tell me this wasn't just me, but we look around and wonder, so when are the grown-ups going to show up? It's a welcome to parenthood moment. Or the first day you drive off in the car by yourself without a parent looking over your shoulder. It's welcome to mobility or freedom. Or the first day of a work promotion when you wonder if you're really the one in charge. Welcome to responsibility. The first time someone asks you for instructions or help understanding a task. Welcome to expertise. Or when you're sitting around with friends or colleagues, musing about the future of your workplace or a service organization, dreaming about the things the people in charge could do to make it better, and you look at each other and you suddenly realize you are the people in charge. Welcome to leadership. These welcome moments, like a welcome to the NFL moment, mark a shift in our identity, a change in our understanding of our potential and purpose. They serve as markers of time, even. We might count our lives by them, before baby and after, before job and after, before car keys and after. This moment John has with Jesus feels like one of those moments. Welcome to gospel ministry. He's been doing it for a while, but suddenly John is faced with the gravity, the enormity of what his ministry is really about, what preparing the way really means. Until now, it's largely been about getting the people ready for Jesus, but now he's learning it's also about getting Jesus ready for the people. The kind of baptism John offered was a baptism for repentance. Usually we think about that in conjunction with the confession of sins. But repentance is about more than just confessing sins, turning away from them. It's also about turning toward God. And that's what I think Jesus is doing in submitting himself to John's baptism. Jesus is turning toward the ministry for which he has been sent, turning toward the servanthood for which he has been preparing, turning toward the people of God, the people God has given him to as a covenant, a redeemer, and a bearer of justice. It feels out of sorts for John, out of order, because he recognizes Jesus' power and authority, but it is entirely in order. It is a good and faithful and right thing to do, because John is the repentance guy. He is the one to whom people come to mark their change in direction. And that's what Jesus is trying to demonstrate publicly, that it is time. This is the moment. He is turning toward the purposes God has for him publicly. The voice from heaven that comes as he rises from the water announces it for all to hear. While there have been messengers who have spoken for God earlier in this story, this is the first time God's voice is heard directly. And this is what God chose to say. Jesus is God's son. He is the beloved with whom God is well pleased. With this pronouncement, all the prophecies from of old are heard in a new way. They shine a spotlight on Jesus in ways that they hadn't before, telling all who witness the baptism, "This is him. This is my servant, the one I was telling you about, the one I have chosen, the one in whom I delight. He will bring forth justice with humility and gentleness, with compassion and care. He will teach all of creation what it means to be in relationship with God and one another." When we look at him, when we look at Jesus, we will see what God desires and what God is doing in the world. Our eyes will be opened. We will be brought out of the prisons of our ignorance, and not just metaphorically. Through the work of Jesus, his healing and transforming grace will open the eyes of those who have been blind and those who are captives and are held in oppressive bondage will be set free. This is God's son. This is the beloved. This is the one with whom God is well pleased. And this is the one by Jesus' own request, who invites John to be in ministry with. John's welcome to ministry moment, while it may produce a momentary crisis, happens when Jesus comes from Galilee to be baptized by him. It's in this moment that he must be rethinking who he is, moving from one who prepares the way of the Lord to one who is walking with Jesus, who is part of his story and his mission, who participates in Jesus' work in the world by facilitating his introduction to the world. He may feel unworthy of the task, but Jesus says it happens this way to fulfill all righteousness, that is, to put them in right relationship with one another. Relationship is what biblical righteousness is all about. Righteousness is not about a morality checklist. It isn't about making sure we measure up to some endless list of rights and wrongs. Righteousness isn't a ruler that measures if we have been good enough or holy enough or perfect enough. Righteousness is about a relationship with the divine one. It's about walking alongside the Holy One. When Jesus comes to John for baptism, it is a living out of this righteousness. It is a right reordering of their relationship, one in which God's people are a part of God's work. It shows us that those who recognize Jesus' power are called to participate in his ministry. It's a demonstration that righteousness means walking hand in hand with God. I'm not sure that's the ministry John was expecting. Just before Jesus showed up, John had been talking with some of the people who had come to be baptized by him. He doubted some of their motives and offered a warning, saying that while he was one who could baptize them with water, another was coming who would baptize with fire. He painted a picture of a threshing floor being cleared, with wheat going to the granary and chaff going to an unquenchable fire, a great cosmic sorting, it seems. But then Jesus showed up, not as one with decisive wrath, but one with a humble spirit, submitting to John. He showed up not with a winnowing fork in his hands, but with empty hands. He didn't scream in the street, but requested an act of ministry by the river. Like Isaiah described, he couldn't even bruise or bend a reed, but just as God held out a hand to Jesus, with words of affirmation and blessing to carry out holy tasks, he drew John into his work of grace and his way of justice. This ministry that John is invited into and his welcome is the same ministry we're invited into as well. A right relationship with Jesus is a relationship built seeking God's holiness and building God's kingdom together. Walking with him is about fulfilling the purposes he fulfills, establishing justice through compassion and grace, gentleness shown to the vulnerable, and strength and steadfastness in the face of opposition. In the coming weeks, as we move through the season of Epiphany, we will hear stories and teachings from Jesus' ministry, along with words from the prophets who guided his work. They will reveal to us who Jesus is and what he desires for us and for the world. As we hear these manifestations of God's will for the world, may we be thinking and praying about how, like John, we are invited to align our lives with the purposes of Jesus. May we listen for God's own voice that is telling us where to go and how to share God's love. May we pay attention to the Spirit who accompanies us into difficult and dangerous places, confronting fear and injustice with love. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.